Amen. Good morning. Man, isn't it great to have Donna back with us over here playing again. And a little bit different. We just don't have her up on this platform, but it is so good to have her back serving with us. I know that that's her heart as well. Almost feels like being born again, being able to serve. That is something else. And as always, Vicky, such a wonderful job, carrying the load by herself. We appreciate all that you guys do to make a wonderful, wonderful worship atmosphere at Central Baptist Church. Hey, look around. Give somebody a wave, a smile that says, I am so glad to see you today. Don't forget the choir. Wave at them so they'll look pretty up here. And, it's always interesting. The view's different from this way looking back in everybody else's face. That's for sure. But we want to thank you for joining us today. If you're part of our online audience, again, we welcome you. Be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, which is your very own Dr. John Cazito, who monitors along with our online audience. As always, if you have any questions or anything that you would like to add, be sure to address them. I believe he flies under the banner of Central Baptist Church, so anytime you see a post there that says Central Baptist during the live feed, that's our Dr. Cazito, and we appreciate all that he does. I will tell you that he is a stellar note taker. I love to go just back through and read John's notes on my sermon. That's kind of cool to see what he puts in there along the way, as well as the fact that I get to sit back and say, we get to say at Central Baptist Church, we have our very own rocket scientist. I always like to brag on Dr. Cazito. He is a professor at North Carolina A&T State University in the engineering department. I believe you're the chair right now, aren't you? The chair of the engineering department at A&T. But in the summertime, he likes to take the summer off where he private contracts in rocket propulsion with NASA. So, yeah, that's our guy right there, man. I tell you, we appreciate Dr. Cazito. And I enjoy watching how he teaches the students in those areas of rocket propulsion, and they have contests that they go to. And he sounds like a professor I would love to have had, just to be hands-on and be able to go do some things and take some field trips. And we certainly appreciate him. God has blessed us by having him and his wife, Betty, who is our health and safety lady here. And she makes sure our first aid kits aren't out of date like my own personal one is. Band-aids would probably fall apart in mine, but they don't here. We appreciate all that Betty does as well. But at any rate, listen, we want to welcome you today. We're going to spend some time around the Word of the Lord. We're going to spend some time worshiping Him. I want to encourage you and challenge you today that make every aspect of what you do in the house of the Lord worshipful today. Also, you'll notice down in front of me, we do have the elements for communion. We will be having communion as we wind down our service today. And then I also want to be sure to let you know, if you're home, you're watching online, and in these few moments that you have, if you can gather you some communion elements, then we encourage you to enjoy communion along with us. But as we begin our time, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and we're thankful for the opportunities that we have. Lord, this morning I think about places around the world where the opportunities that we have come very difficult for many people. Lord, I think about places where it is forbidden to worship. I think about the secret worship services that are taking place all across this world today because people love you and they desire to get together. They desire to learn and to grow in your word. And Lord, I pray that you will not only bless them, but you will bless us. Lord, forgive us where we take for granted the moments that we have to be able to gather in your name. So Father, today I pray that you will truly help our heart be tuned toward you. Father, for the cares of the day and the cares of the week, may you help us to put those things aside. Lord, in such a fashion that we will truly hear you and you only. Well, we know there's a lot of cares. We know that Satan likes to try to distract us from your word. And especially right now, I'm sure he's working overtime in hearts and lives to keep us from being what you want us to be. to keep us from hearing what you want us to hear. So, Lord, may we lift our hearts as well as our voices as we sing to you. Lord, may we be especially attentive that we get the words that the Holy Spirit would have for each and every one of us on this very day that would be life-changing for each and every one of us. So, Lord, bless this time in a supernatural way as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Well, if you notice, I kind of got used to that armrest there, kind of handy. If you will, please join me as we sing 132, There is Power in the Blood. Please stand as we sing.
There is power in the blood. There is.
Please join me as we sing number 450, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Amen. I'm pulling this up here to look cool, you know, for a younger generation. No, I'm not. Some know, some do not know, but this past week I had to tangle with a virus, and it was one of those that It hit hard, as the old boy says. You know, I'm about 8 pounds lighter and hadn't had a... I don't recommend that diet. I give you that on a zero-star scale. Don't go that route. But at any rate, I've eaten about as much this past week as I normally eat in one meal a day. So getting strength back is a little bit different. So I would prefer not to pass out in front of you guys or a live viewing audience. So I've got this just in case I need to sit down and act like Mr. Rogers or something, and we'll get there. Today, go ahead, if you've got your Bibles, look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to spend a little time this morning, and like I said, you're going to have to listen fast because we've got a lot of things that we want to cover in God's Word today, but we also will be observing the Lord's Supper. And then I believe we do have a business meeting following today's service. Is that correct? No, we don't. Next week. I was just testing all of y'all to see. I was just wanting to make sure that you guys were on time and on target with that. Last week, one of the things that we talked about was the fact that life is a series of seasons. Sometimes you're in season and sometimes you're out of season. And all God's people said, there are good times and bad times. There are mountaintops and there are valleys below. And each moment or each experience that we have, whether it is good or bad, leaves an imprint on us. Now, I also want to go one step further to say that is true of every encounter in relationships that we have. Whether it is going to be today when you go out and grab yourself a bite to eat after church, your encounter with that server, with whoever it may be, you are leaving an impression upon them. So I want us to keep those things in mind as we go about our day and each and every encounter that we have. Each encounter that we actually have as we come together in the house of the Lord. You know, you can choose to make it a good encounter, and you can choose to leave a good imprint on others that are around us. But there are times when we need to consciously shift, you know, our focus from the past so that we can embrace the present and then open our hearts to the future. You get the theme there: past, present, and future. All right? Scripture offers us a lot of wisdom, you know, urging us to let go of the past, to appreciate the now, and to look forward with hope. That is the scripture that I want for us to spend just a few moments on today, very familiar scripture that most of you know. The question is, why do we have so much trouble applying these particular concepts in our lives? And I'll express that here in just a moment. Look with me, if you would, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we take these moments to come to you now, Father, I pray that your Spirit truly is being heard among us. Lord, I know that we have spent time already lifting up our prayers and lifting up our voices to you. And Lord, now are the moments when we just need to feel so close to you. So, Father, I pray that as we take these times together today, as we listen to your word, as we listen to your Holy Spirit, that you first and foremost would be heard. Lord, I pray that that you would use me as your messenger. Speak your word to your children today, that they may understand, that they may draw closer to you. And Lord, we will be careful to praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at the context of our particular passage, this is the Apostle Paul who had written a letter to the Philippians during the time that he was actually imprisoned in Rome. Now, despite his circumstances, You know, Paul's spirit was one of those that was unyielding. You know, Philippians as a letter is filled with this deep, deep joy and encouragement for fellow believers that Paul has that he is expressing to them. Now, remember where he's doing this from. He is doing this from a prison cell. Now, he is challenging them to imitate Christ in their humility and in their unity, while at the same time persevering in their faith. Now, we're getting ready to talk about the things from the past. And a lot of us, if it came down to it, there are things in our past we don't want people to know, aren't there? There are things in our past that we regret. There are things in our past that we are ashamed of. There are things that we would die, we would run off and go hide somewhere if somebody knew some of the things of our past. And like I said, here's the thing you need to understand. It's not just you. Every single person in this room is in that same boat. That's what we have to understand. Now, there's one of two things that happens amidst those particular things in your life, those regrets, those failures, whatever it may be. They're going to either do something for you. They are either going to advance you or they are going to strap you down right where you are. You've seen it before. Somebody who says, well, you know what? I'm not worthy to be able to do this anymore. I'm no longer worthy, or nobody would want me, or all these different excuses. You know, well, if people knew my past, they wouldn't want me to be around, or all these different things, all right? But let's take a look at this text. Paul, he makes an admission. He says he has not apprehended. Now, that signifies the recognition of the fact that there is this ongoing nature of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a great process, but it is also a never-ending process. You know, you don't accept Jesus Christ and all of a sudden know everything there is to know. In fact, you accept Jesus Christ and you begin the journey of drawing close to Him. You know, I've often said this, and I'm going to say it again. What happens is there's a difference between 40 years experience as a Christian and 1 year experience 40 times over. And a lot of times what we have is we have people who have 1 year of Christian experience 40 times over. They have never moved beyond. Remember, Paul was also the one who was encouraging the people. He said, folks, I've left you here. You all were doing a great job. But the problem is I came back, I made a visit, and you guys are still on the milk. You know, what is it that babies eat when they're born? Milk. Yeah, that's all they can have. They don't have teeth. You know, you don't bring the baby home and hand it a ham sandwich for lunch. The baby's got to eat milk. He has to mature. His system has to mature. They've got to get teeth. They've got to get all these things. You know, it lines up. And of course, how many grandmas have got in here? Grandmas are a little different breed, aren't they? Yeah. You get that grandbaby around, and when your children, that baby's mom and daddy ain't looking, you're sneaking at mashed potatoes and gravy and grits and a little bit. Thank God for grandmas like you. I pray for the next generation. Now, I'm worried about this next generation. They're gonna starve to death, you know, before they get to, you know, 1 year old. But see what happens is grandma understood that. They need to start getting some substance. They need to start moving off of the milk and on to the meat. And see, Paul even said to those that he had visited, he said, why are you guys still drinking a bottle? I mean, look, if a 12-year-old came in and was drinking a milk bottle, wouldn't you think something was wrong? Matter of fact, if a 5 or 6-year-old came in and drinking a milk bottle and didn't want a Happy Meal from McDonald's, you'd think something was wrong. And my guess is you'd be right. They'd probably look rather anemic. That body needs more. It needs more nutrients. It needs more to be able to not only survive, but to thrive. Man, you know what it's like when you start to get those nutrients and it gives you the energy to go and to do. I wish that I had the energy of half of these children I would see around here. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. They just run all the time. I remember those days. I mean, if I'm running now, you better run too. Something's chasing me. But they have the energy, man. They can go. They go. They go. But Paul is trying to say to them, it is time for you to mature. It is time for you to move on. And one of the gigantic things that is a huge stumbling block to many Christians today is their past. Now, I have preached about this many, many times over the years. And I'm preaching about it again, and let me tell you why. Because this seems to be one of the hardest lessons for us Christians to learn. And I say that because you will sit in an audience like this, and I will sit back and read from the Word of God where it tells you, you need to forget your past. You need to let go of your past so that you can move forward. And here's what happens. You will sit back and say, amen. That's what you need to do. And what happens is you are phenomenal at assisting another brother or sister in doing just that. You'll put your arm around them. You'll come beside them and say, hey, look, when God forgives, He forgives completely. That's a true statement, isn't it? You will say, when God forgives, He throws it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And you're correct. And you will love them back to a good place with not only the Lord, but with themselves. But then comes a problem. You know what the problem is? The problem comes when you are that person. The problem comes when you won't tell yourself or preach yourself the exact same sermon you just preached to them. Do you realize that God's forgiveness is for you as well? God's forgiveness means this. God says, I'm not going to let anybody pick on you, including you. God's probably said to you, you have preached my forgiveness to your friends, your families, and your loved ones. Why is it that now you don't accept it for yourself? Because I am here to forgive you. And see, here's the problem. The problem is, too many times, we cannot forgive ourselves to be able to move forward. Now, I've shared this, and I'm going to share it again, because this really, especially if I'm talking to somebody about this that I've never had a chance to talk to before, and they will sit back and say, and I'll say, hey, look, you're a forgiving person. You forgive other people in your life. Yes, I do. I'm like, and then I usually will tell them, well, you're one of the most arrogant people I know. That stops them in their tracks. That gets their attention. That almost gets them ready to fight. They're like, well, then just why do you say that? And I'll say, okay, well, bear with me just a second. I said, you just told me that you believe that God will forgive any sin. That's correct. I believe that. You just told me that anybody who freely asks forgiveness of God and repents, then God forgives. That's correct. I did just agree with that. I said, well, then you're arrogant because you're telling me that you can't forgive yourself, but yet you said that you've gone to God and asked Him to forgiveness, so you're telling me you've got a higher standard than God. And that is the height of arrogance, is it not? That gets their attention. I said, you're having trouble forgiving yourself. Come on, be honest today. How many of you all have ever had a situation in your life where you have struggled to forgive yourself? Look at the hands. Look around. You've struggled with that. And you know why you've struggled with that? Because Satan doesn't want you to be able to go forward with what God's wanting you to go forward with, mainly forgiveness, mainly restoration, mainly bringing you back into who He is. And if He can just keep you depressed and over in a corner, not forgiving yourself, then you have become useless for the kingdom. And Satan wins. Do you want Satan to win? No. Folks, today it's time for us to stop being arrogant and having a higher standard than God. It is time for us to be able to forgive. We don't have any trouble forgiving anybody else. Now, there are a few exceptions. You know what I'm saying? There are times that some of us have times where we have trouble with forgiveness. But by and large, we're pretty good about being able to forgive. Except when it comes to us. But yet we learn in this scripture that we need to forget the past. Paul emphasizes a singular focus, you know, to forget what lies behind and press forward. See, the term forgetting, and reaching forward are active. I got to throw in a little education there. Active, dynamic verbs, and they suggest intentional. You have to be intentional about not only your forgiveness of others, but also your forgiveness of yourself. It has to be on purpose. It has to be intentional and continual. Paul illustrates the Christian journey as a race where past failures, achievements, or pains must not become burdens or distractions. Now, notice what I said. It's very easy for us to want to forget the past pain, isn't it? That's easy. We want to get past that. Let me tell you what's harder. What's harder is for us to forget the past victories. Now, be careful how you hear this, because I'm going to be careful how I say it. I think it's all right to run up victory banners where the Lord has won. But let me tell you what we cannot do. We cannot keep living over and over and over again in the present the victories from the past. In the same manner, we cannot keep allowing the same defeats from the past to hold us back. Yesterday is gone. We cannot bring it back. We can be nostalgic, but just because we had a great day yesterday doesn't ensure a great day today or tomorrow. Amen? And we will never get back to a great day as long as we stay in the past. The past can destroy us. Oh, that doesn't mean we don't honor it. You know, we've had some pretty good times in our church life in the past, haven't we? There have been all kinds of things that we've accomplished in the past 23 years together. We've set records. We've retired debts. We're a year out from retiring debt number two. We've seen great numbers of people come to know the Lord that were baptized. We've seen great numbers of mission endeavors go forward. We've seen all these great things, and we can toot our horn and say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah for what you've done. But what are we doing today? What are we going to do tomorrow? We can't just sit back on victories from the past and live the rest of our life. You know what you call that? Has-beens. Some of y'all have seen that before. There's been a famous person that was famous in your lifetime. It was a singer or something like that. And I'll give you an example because I saw him myself. Y'all remember Engelbert Humperdinck? I like to say that too. Engelbert Humperdinck. He was a crooner, wasn't he? Man, back in the 70s, all the ladies went crazy over him. Man, that dude would pack stadiums. He ain't come up with an album since the 1970s, I don't believe, but he'll still go out and tour if he's still alive. And he'll still sing them same old songs. And you know what we do? We go love it because it's nostalgic from the past. But it doesn't set the stage for what God wants to do in the present and in the future. This passage is highlighting the transformative power of the grace of God, the unmerited favor that he bestows upon us. The act of forgetting is not about erasing memories. That's something we need to understand. But rather not allowing them to dictate present choices or to hinder future potentials along the way. Through Christ, we are empowered to embrace new beginnings. A lot of times we don't like new stuff. Sometimes we like new stuff, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get new stuff kicking and screaming, don't we? I still remember us coming through the pandemic not too many years ago. You know, back when we did that, we didn't have online services. We didn't have all that stuff. And there for a while, that was the only way you were going to be attending church was online, because until that lawsuit, we couldn't even meet together. Okay? And then what happened was everybody said, well, I don't do that. That's not my thing. But then you know what you did? You got your children or your grandchildren to come over to your computer or your cellular phone and load up an app and teach you how to push a button so you could watch a service. How many of y'all did that? Come on. Rest of y'all lying today. You need to repent. You did it. All right? Okay, I'll give you that one. Let me give you another one. How many of y'all didn't have a debit card before the pandemic? Okay, all right. Now, didn't have one. How many of y'all grew up like me? Cash is king, buddy. Money talks. And then all of a sudden during the pandemic, you went to the store and you took out your billfold and you got some money out. And that little child behind the counter said, we don't take that. How many of y'all remember that? And you said, do what? You don't take money? No, we don't take money now. All we take is that card. How many of y'all did that surprise? Did that surprise y'all? One. Brad, you and me were the only two surprised. Three. Madeline, thank you. Yes, I see that hand in the back, Sandy. Yeah, there. That shocked me. Money. I never thought I'd live to see the day in America people wouldn't take money. Got to have that card. Well, guess what happened? You had to get that card if you wanted to buy groceries or had to use it. Now, some of y'all had it. You just hid it. Didn't use it. You had to get that thing so you could buy groceries and fuel and everything else. You were forced into conformity. And some of you look back and, yeah, you're back to maybe your old ways, and that's okay. But you know what? Life moves on, and sometimes you have to make changes to become relevant. Paul's race analogy reminds us that our citizenship is not here, but our citizenship is in heaven, and that our life's ultimate goal is to align with His divine purpose. So very quickly, I want to give you some practical applications. I titled this morning's message, Starting Today. That's what I called it. You know why? Because for a lot of us, starting today, there are some adjustments that we need to make in and of ourselves. Starting today, what are some things we can do to adhere to what the Scripture tells us? Well, number one, here's what you can do. You can forget what's gone. Did you get that? Forget what's gone. Release past regrets. Release past failures. And even released past successes. You realize that success can be almost as dangerous and as much as a hindrance as failure? Because we rely on a past victory. We need to let all that stuff go. Even successes that may keep us stagnant. I grew up old hillbilly. And you know something I learned? Stagnant water stinks. You know, you'd find that time when the river would get high and it would get over in these little eddies, and when it would go down, that water would be trapped. It'd start growing stuff. Creatures would start living in it. It had a foul odor to it. Stagnant things stink. Listen, man, let's not stink before the Savior. We need something new. We need something fresh in our life. Let God's grace cover what has been in the past, freeing us to be able to move ahead in an unencumbered way. It's something I learned real young. Are you ready for this? It's going to be a great revelation for you. You can't change the past. If you've had a failure, you can't undo it. If you've had a success, you can't continue to try to live on it. You have to move forward. The Lord doesn't want us to stay still. He doesn't want us to be drugged down. He doesn't want Satan to beat us down. You know what I know? I know that even right now, Satan is trying to beat you down with something from your past. Satan came to church with you today. He's right here. Something that just, he keeps reminding you and reminding you. I wasn't talking about Kay, Mike. I love you guys. But you know, he's here. He's reminding you. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you in the corner with failures and successes. So number one, you need to forget what's gone. You got that down? The second thing is you need to appreciate what still remains. Did you get that? Appreciate what still remains. Cultivate a heart of gratitude. Take stock of God's blessing. You know, I'm sitting back and I look out and there have been days when we looked a lot different than we look today. Amen? There have been days when there was chairs out. There have been days when two services, two Sunday schools. We ain't what we used to be. But that's gone. But we need to embrace what is here. We need to embrace what we have. And we need to be grateful for that. You know, I am. I sat back and I thought this past week, when I thought I was going to die at moments, I thought, you know, I sure do appreciate my health today a little bit better than I did this past week. Some of you that have lost certain attributes of your health understand that. You know what it's like to be what you used to be. Appreciate it now. Do with it now what God wants you to do with it now. Be thankful for family. Be thankful for those in your life that are there when you wake up. Those that are there when you go to bed. Those that are there to bring you a little something to eat and try to get you to eat when you don't feel good. Those that will bring you a Powerade to try to keep you hydrated when you don't want it. Do we appreciate those in our lives? Do we appreciate what is here? I sure do. Let me tell you something I appreciated. I got a few texts and messages, and I know, listen, a lot of you all didn't know I was sick. And that's okay. But there was a lot of you that did. But those of you that did sent a little text message and said, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you and I love you. That means the world. And here's why. Because I know it came from the heart. And when you love somebody that way, you got each other. What was it, old Sonny and Cher used to sing? Babe, I got you, babe. Great spiritual reference today. But we need to appreciate what still remains. You know, I appreciate every one of y'all here today to hear the Word of God. I appreciate every meal that is prepared for a grieving family. I appreciate Donna, her willingness to be able to try to find a way to keep on doing what God has gifted her to do. I appreciate Vicky, who painstakingly comes over here and works and strives to play for us. I appreciate Travis back there who changes the screen so that we can see, and Ernie so that we can hear, and the guys in the other building that are there so that other people can be a part of our worship service. I appreciate what's here. Do you? Yeah, I remember bigger and better days. But I sure do love what's here. Because you've been faithful. You have been faithful through the storms. You've seen some high tides and some low tides. We need to be grateful for family, for health, for opportunities. No matter how small those opportunities may seem, in the hands of God, they're huge. A simple hello. A simple, hey, Pastor, I hope you're feeling better. I love you. Goes a long way. Hey, I made you a little something. Hey, that's a pretty dress today. Hey, I just want to let you know you made my day just to see you. Just to see that smile. Boy, you're a sight for sore eyes. We can do this together. And you see, that way when we see that something is not going just like it should with somebody, you know that. And you put that arm around them and you say, I'll walk the path with you. You have walked a lot of paths. Thank you. Thank you. Number one, forget what's gone. Number two, appreciate what still remains. Cherish those relationships. Embrace the small joys. Number three, you ready for this one? Look forward to what's coming next. Set goals. Have a vision for your future, grounded in faith and grounded in trust in God's plan. And be intentional in spiritual growth. Folks, you don't get it by osmosis. That's what a professor asked me one time about a test. He said, did you study last night? I said, I fell asleep with the book. He said, well, you're not going to get it by osmosis. And you, a lot of y'all like me, didn't get that. Yeah, osmosis means transfer. You know, if I lay on it, it's all going to absorb into me. That's osmosis. No, that doesn't work. That was what the professor was asking me. Yeah, you ain't going to sleep on it and pick it up from that. It's not going to happen. You have to be intentional. You have to invest time in prayer, invest time in the scripture, and invest time in serving others. You know, the best way to get over yourself, serve someone else. I promise you that. This church has been phenomenal at serving other people. You all blow my mind. Even over the years, you not only have sent hundreds of thousands of dollars on mission to be able to reach people with the gospel of Christ, not only have you done that, you've gotten on airplanes and you've gone. You've endured times. You've gone and cooked for camps in Wyoming. You've gone to communist Cuba. You have gone to the heart of Greensboro and fed the homeless. You have built decks and ramps, and you've done all these things in the name of Jesus because you love somebody else and wanted to be an instrument in His hand. That is staggering. What's next? You know, those are cool things, but they're behind us. What's in front of us? We have to be intentional to grow, intentional in investing our heart and our time in everything that we are. Are you going to do that? Because when we do, man, when we see what comes next, it's incredible. Let me run them down for you again. Practical applications of our passage. Number one, forget what's gone. Number two, appreciate what still remains. Number three, look forward to what's coming next. What are you looking forward to as far as what's coming next? Every new day is a gift from God. I want you to know that. You know, all the way up till yesterday, I was sitting there wondering, am I even going to be able to preach today? But God woke me up today, and He gave me an opportunity to do what He called me to do and what I love to do, even if I got to sit in a chair for today. He's blessed me. Today is an opportunity, offering you the opportunity to start over again if you've been held back. Forgetting what's gone, appreciating what remains, and looking forward to what's next. We can align ourselves with God's purpose and with His power. So my question for you today is simply this. What is it that's been holding you back? I'm asking you today, what has God spoken to you? See, I believe with all my heart that within the sound of my voice, whether it's online or whether it's here today, I believe with all of my heart that somebody is here today that you've allowed Satan to hold you back because of something in your past. A past failure. A past something that nobody in your current life even knows about. Only you and God. But you are allowing Satan to beat you down into nothing. You need to stop that. And you need to stop it right now. Let me tell you why. Because God loves you. And because we love you. Nobody's here to condemn you because of your past, including Jesus. Well, what is it John 3:17 says? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It is time for you to be free. Brad, come on up. It is time for you to be free from whatever. Listen, there have been people that have been held down for years and decades over something, and you have been your own worst enemy. Ain't nobody holding anything against you except you. And you're going to choose today whether you're going to allow the devil to keep telling you the lie that's going to hold you down, or whether you are going to believe God Almighty, the God of restoration, the God of forgiveness, who says, come to me just as you are. The God who says, it is finished. The God who says, you are forgiven. The God who says, I hold it against you no more. Go forward. What was it Jesus said often in the New Testament when He would forgive someone? He said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Today it's time for you to be free from all that bondage that's kept you back. Will you do that? Listen, if that's you, then you cry out to the Lord right now. I promise He'll forgive you if you know Him. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, right now's the time to start that relationship. You don't know what love or freedom or repentance or anything is until you do. Have you cried out to Him at some point in your life? Have you said, Lord, I believe what happened at Calvary's cross. I believe that through the resurrection, you have conquered sin, death, and hell. And Lord, I surrender my life to you. Save my soul. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. Have you done that? Listen, if you're not saved and you're on your way to hell. I don't know any other way to put it. But you can change that this very moment. Listen, if you need Jesus, you feel Him knocking on your heart's door, then right where you are, simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. Help me live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. I will promise you that if you cried out with your heart unto the Father, He heard your prayer. He has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you are a child of the King. Now, that doesn't end there. That's just the beginning. He expects you to act like part of the family. That's what Bible study and discipleship groups and church, that's what it's really all about. And if you do it right, it's fun. We want you to join us. Would you do that? Listen, if you're a believer, you just cry out to the Lord. You know how to do it. You've been hiding for a long time. Get out of that hog pen. Go on back to the master. You know how to do it. Get up and start heading in His direction. Cry out to Him. And He will redeem you right where you are. Not only, He ain't going to wait for you to get to Him. He's going to meet you halfway. Or better, when you can't get one foot in front of the other, He's going to keep coming until He gets to you. Will you reach out to Him today? Listen, whatever it is you need to do, whatever God's put on your heart, now's the time to do that. It's called an invitation time. And we're Baptists. And I want to tell you right now, you need to act fast. We don't sing "Just As I Am" 50,000 times. Lord already has already put on your heart what you need to do. If you need me, I'm going to be here. If you need this altar, it is here. But you come as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, number 134, Jesus Paid It All, and Brad leads us. Are bound, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to seek the Lord today, make sure that whatever message He put on your heart that you have dealt with before you leave this place today, is it well with your soul? Can you truly say that? I'm also going to ask at this time our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. And I'm also going to ask our serving deacons if they would make their way down to the front row as we prepare for our time with the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank You for yet again this opportunity that we have to continue to worship You by giving back that small portion and, Lord, the things that You just have so richly blessed us with. Father, this is worship, and we know that You are watching. We know that You are aware of what You have blessed each and every one of us with, and You know our faithfulness or lack thereof. So, Lord, You don't want just because You need. You don't need anything, but, Father, You want us to be faithful that You might bless us individually. So, Father, may we be found honoring You by giving to You the tithe and the offering. May the gift be blessed as well as the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, we thank you for taking these moments to join us today as we gather around the Lord's table for a very special time. This is a very special time. It's one of the two ordinances that are spoken of in the Word of God. This was the time when Jesus got his disciples together in the upper room, and he was trying to do the best that he could to explain to them yet again what was going to take place, how his body would be broken, how his blood would be shed, how he would rise on the third day and conquer sin, death, and hell. He was trying to get his disciples to understand all those things, and yet they still didn't get it. But yet the Lord says this. He says, I want you as my people, as a church, to observe the Lord's Supper as a time to remember Calvary, to remember the resurrection. So as we go back and we look at that historical account in the Word of God, it says simply this. As it came to that time, Jesus had talked to his disciples. He says, but let a man examine himself, that he not eat of the bread or drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. So I'm just going to ask you right now to take just a moment to spend with the Lord in the quietness of his house to see if there's any unrepentance in your heart, to make sure that as you come to the Lord's table, you do so with a right and a clean heart. Let's pray together. Father, it's a very special time that we come together in your house today. Lord, it's family meeting. Brothers and sisters coming together to the family meeting, which has a purpose. The purpose being to remember the broken body and the shed blood of you, our Savior, for each and every one of our souls and salvation. Lord, may we never take that lightly. May we never take that for granted. Lord, may we never take for granted that you have prepared a place at the table for us through Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we come into your presence today, may we do so with the sense of awe in which you desire us to come into your presence. Help us, Father, to remember Calvary as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bill, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Heavenly Father, we are glad to be here today to just to especially remember, as you have commanded, that you died, your sin died on a cruel cross. His body was broken so that I might have salvation. We thank you for that remembrance, Father. Yes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. The scriptural passage tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it said that he took the bread, he gave thanks, and said that he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can remember your great sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And we just pray that you bless the cup as it represents your shed blood for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The word tells us, in a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup and he said to his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood." I love to think about what that meant. It meant that all would be new, no more animal sacrifices over and over again, but that Jesus would be the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. The word says, "For as oft as ye eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. Let me tell you just a couple of things, and then we'll get you moving. And I want to get, anybody want to do something a little bit historic, take you back a few years? How many of y'all want to do something, take you back a few years? Some of y'all know where I'm going. Vicki, get her ready. Because when I was growing up, one of the things that it always that we always did, it's after we had the Lord's Supper, it said, after the disciples had had the Last Supper, it said that they sang a hymn and went out. So as Baptists, we always, you know, we used to sing a hymn and go out. And y'all know what it is, right? All right, now David's going to lead it in a minute. I'm not, because he sings and I don't. But that's the way we're going to dismiss in just a moment. But let me tell you what we got going on for today, give you a couple of these announcements, and then get you on out of here. Let me go ahead and mention birthdays coming up. Actually, tomorrow, Debbie and Richard Brackett have birthdays tomorrow, brother. Hey, another turn around the sun. So good to see you. Hug on Richard a little bit. I like to watch him turn red. So, you know, go over and give him a big old hug and some sugars and all that stuff. But Debbie McDonald and Richard will have birthdays Monday. Tuesday, our very own Mark Vernon. Where'd he go? He's still down here. Mark's still down at front with us, one of our serving deacons. Mark's birthday is going to be on Tuesday. I don't see any anniversaries listed for this week. Let me tell you what we got going on for today. 4:45, choir practice, getting back geared up, coming out of summer, starting into the fall. So 4:45 today. 6 o'clock p.m. Bible study with Pastor David, be down the hall on the left. And then tonight at 7 o'clock-ish, or right after Bible study, band rehearsal right here in the sanctuary with Jim. Also want to let people know, y'all got them in order, don't you? Okay. All right. Let me just go ahead and make this announcement, because just as a reminder, this coming Wednesday, I believe it's Wednesday, please check in. School's going to be starting back. That's what I'm getting at. This coming Wednesday, or is it Monday? Tomorrow?
School starts back on Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay, I was right. School starts back on Wednesday. Just as a reminder, so if you're coming here and you got to get somewhere in the building, school will be going on. We need you to check in at the office so that we don't have to get you out of jail or something, because a lot of them don't know you. It is a functioning as an official school. So if you come through the glass doors right there on the left where the conference room used to be is the Revolution office, and you will need to sign in. Please just do that. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. You take your driver's license and you scan it, and unless you're like a triple axe murderer from Louisiana or something, or you're hiding something, they'll give you a sticker, and generally everything is okay. So just please do that for us so that we don't have the cops out here, you know, locking you up or something. And then if you're coming to the church offices, you don't have to worry about that because you don't have to go past their school barrier. So if you're coming to office to see me, David, Debbie, or anybody, that's not a problem. Come in those double glass doors. You can come right on in to the office area. But also, trying to remember, their parking is being established right up here, like outside the area, for Central Baptist Church personnel. If you have to come by here during the day so that that's not taken up and you don't have to walk from the military academy over here, there are signs that say CBC only. So that means if you're coming by to see us and you are a CBC member, you can park in one of those spots. We're trying to make it, you know, convenient so that you don't have to be hoofing it a country mile along the way. So just keep that in mind. That's coming up with school starting on Wednesday. And then is that still good at 5 o'clock, first floor of the FLC? Okay. So starting at 5 p.m., is that, when is that, today? next Friday, okay? I didn't have a date on it. This coming Friday. All right, this coming Friday at 5, the first floor of the Family Life Center will be closed. Essentially, we're trying to get the final touches on the floor restorations being done over there in the Family Life Center. So please just make a note of that. And yeah, just give us a call. I mean, you know, we can generally work around those sort of things, but they've been like waxing and burnishing the floors and that sort of thing. The other things, let's see, I just want to give you your monthly ladies connections. The next one is going to be next month on the 3rd. That's your monthly meeting, 9-3 in FLC 116. And then your monthly breakfast is actually going to be the 14th, which is 4 days from now at Cagney's on Friendly. And just keep this in mind as well. Awana, we're planning on starting Awana back up September 14th, beginning at 5:30. If you would like to volunteer or be a part of the Awana program, please see my wife, Jana. Most of you all know her. If you don't, you're missing out. I think four. Oh, yes. When school starts back up, this lower gate is going to be closed. That's not something that we do just to irritate people. That is a Department of Transportation regulation because of how traffic has to come in and drop the kids off at school. So starting on Wednesday, when school is back in session, until the DOT completely messes us up with this lane thing, that gate will be closed, so just come in this upper entrance. It's open. There's no gate up here. You can always get in here, but just come in like the upper entrance, because if you turn into there, you're going to whack into a gate, and that was done. DOT made that happen because of the way the school parents have to come in and drop the kids off, okay? Is there anything I have forgot? Oh, okay, I got you. Historically, what we do after we have the Lord's Supper, we will have ushers at our two doors over here as you go out. They're just going to be standing there with a plate. If you feel so led to give, this goes 100% to benevolence. It's a benevolent offering. It will go into our benevolence fund, which helps to take care of our folks when they hit some hard times or need a little bit of help. Some of you have administered that fund. Some of you have been benefactors of that fund in the past. And, of course, all that is kept very, very confidential. So if you would like to do that, the gentleman at each door will be there with a plate. And you can just drop a little something in there. If you don't feel bad about that. That's not a problem either. As we get ready to depart, once again, good to have Donna back in service with us. To hear the organ ring out once again, and Vicky over here, as always, what a wonderful, wonderful job and service that she does for Central Baptist Church and keeping us fit and in line. And before David comes up to lead us, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I know I got to say, and I'm forgetting it, but time has already gotten past us, and I appreciate the extra time. For those watching at home, Mom, I love you. Roger and Don Ree, I love you guys too. I just want you to know that. Pastor David, come on up and dismiss us old-fashioned style. So y'all go ahead and stand, and you'll be ready by the time he gets here.
You have a wonderful day.